It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here entertaining you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports 920, The Jersey. Do-do-do. This show is white gold. Amanda Baliones won't get old. This one for them club twirls, them good shots, straight masterpieces. Guys are styling, living it up at the Players. I got flops on like Philly Mick on Instagram. I'm so witty. Tommy Fleetwood, hot damn. Got great hair like Conan. Tiger Woods, hot damn. Made quad today on the island, man. Springdale Live, hot damn. I love this game, you know who I am. Molinari, hot damn. Taking Bay Hill's money, break it down. It's Players Week, hallelujah, woo. Masters is close, hallelujah, woo. Let's play golf, hallelujah, woo. Cause now Fred Funk's gonna give it to you. Cause now Fred Funk's gonna give it to you. Cause now Fred Funk is here with you. It's Players Friday and we are on Fox. Director of fun, but just watch, come on! There you go, Al Brooks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, folks. Springdale yeah. Golf Live, Fox Sports 920, The Jersey. There it is. Another one of those openings you all love. And song of the week, as you can guess there, was Uptown Funk. A little, what's that, Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson, yeah. Right? You know, we love to have a little bit of fun here on Springdale Golf Live. Al Brooks, you doing well, my friend?
I'm doing good. You better wipe that sweat off your brow. That was a tough intro, pal.
Oh, man, I tell you, you know, we continue to find new and interesting ways to challenge live radio here.
A little play on your guests, too.
But huh? Yes. So a very exciting show we have this week. It's a big week in golf. It's Players Championship Week. But before we get to that, folks, if you can't hear us on the radio, you got to hit 920thejersey.com, hit that listen live button, and I'd be remiss if I didn't thank my sponsors. First and foremost, New Jersey Golf Foundation for all they do to support the show, and of course, Summit Golf Brands, that's Bedratty, Fairway and Green, Zero Restriction, EP New York, and my belt man Jimmy in New York City, the good man, it's the good guys at FH Wadsworth. Love all my sponsors here at Springdale Golf Live here on 920. The Jersey. And you know what, Al?
Yes.
We have got a tremendous guest here today.
I know.
Really, really cool. Yeah. He's an 8-time PGA Tour winner, including the 2005 Players Championship.
Right.
And he was the inspiration for the song of the week because he is none other than the one, the only, Mr. Fred Funk, PGA Tour player. Fred, welcome to Springdale Golf Live. How are you today?
I'm great. Best opening ever. I've ever heard.
Well, I was going through songs that had funk in them, and I thought maybe you had heard them all, so I tried to be original for you. How'd I do?
Well, I think you did great. That was a great version. I'd like to see you repeat it without anything written down.
Well, you know what? You know, the fans on the street of Princeton, they hit me up all the time. So it's crazy as I am, I'm not too bad at it. I'm sure this weekend with St. Patrick's Day, I'll be out somewhere and someone's going to want it on call. So I better be practicing, that's for sure. But hey, welcome to Springdale Golf Live. You're calling in from Ponte Vedra down there where you live, and you're past champion of this week's event. Give us an idea. What's it like this week down there at TPC? What's the vibe going on for the 2019 version of the Players?
Well, I think it's pretty high energy right now because it's first time going back to March since 2006. And I think a lot of people are in favor of it. There's probably a bunch of different opinions out there, but I think for the tournament itself, it'll be a good thing because the March is much more unpredictable weather-wise, with the winds and the rains, and temperatures can change and vary so much. And it actually will this week because we've had perfect weather up through today, and then it's going to drop down into the low 60s over the weekend with a big chance of rain on Sunday. So hopefully it won't be something where it's a washout and they have to go to Monday or something. But there's a lot of variables in March versus the May date. The May date, you always know it's going to be hot, and usually the wind's always out of the south or southeast, and it's pretty much the same all the time. And then this time of year, we've had south winds the first 2 days, and now they're going to turn around and come straight out of the north, the northwest, and course plays a lot more difficult with that wind.
So, like, for my listeners, let's go straight to number 17. You know, the hole everyone loves to hate that they're playing, but they love to watch if they're watching. So that wind shift that you're talking about from south to north, how will that change just the playing of that hole?
Yeah, I'll give you a good indicator, because the south wind is almost straight down on 17, and the north wind straight in, and a little bit out of the west is coming out of left to right. So it plays a lot more difficult. But I will say, with that hole, if the green is holding, it might be easier downwind than it is into the wind, because you don't get caught up with the upshooters and things like that. If the green's firm and the pin's in the back like it is today, and you get it downwind, you land it on top and it bounces over. So it really depends on how firm that green is and how hard the wind's blowing. But normally it's much more difficult into the wind.
Well, I know this morning I was watching a little PGA Tour live, and it was certainly firm for one Mr. Tiger Woods, as he rinsed the ball twice this morning. But, he still came back with a couple birdies, and he shot one under today. But Mr. Tommy Fleetwood's leading the way, and he's two shots ahead of Jim Furyk. How about Jim Furyk sneaking up the leaderboard with a little 8-under 64 today? What are your thoughts on that, on this leaderboard right now?
I know Jim's a good friend of mine. He lives here, and I was talking to him a couple months ago or a month and a half ago. He's a member of Pablo Creek, where I am, and we were having lunch. I just asked him how he was playing and stuff, and he says first time he's been healthy in about 2 years with injuries or lack thereof, and he feels really good. So he was excited about playing golf this year and not being hurt, and he's showing it this week. And 64, that's not really sneaking up on too many guys. That's blowing right through the field there. But that's a great round of golf. I think it was the lowest round he said he's ever had at TPC. And that's a great day.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a tremendous day. I mean, birdie after birdie that he had. And speaking of tremendous days, and you referenced this a little bit earlier when you said hopefully it's not a Monday finish, but I have to think that you're pretty fond of a Monday finish at the Players Championship. So I'm going to take my listeners back about 14 years to 2005, and walk me through that week, because you were in contention most of the week, and then you end up with a Monday finish, and you end up the Players Champ. But kind of, take us back in time and give us a story or two that you could share with my listeners that they may not have known about your experience that week that they would really love.
Yeah, a lot of guys don't remember. It was a Monday finish, and I had to play 32 holes on that Monday, so that's how little golf we got in 4 days, because we just had this on and off rain and every day. And I did manage to shoot a 65 the first day, which was a great start, and managed to shoot a 71 the next, or what I shoot, 72, I think, the next day. And but it took a while to get that round in. And then we were on the golf course, off the golf course, just for 3 days straight. We're just always getting these rain delays, and you're thinking you're going to go back out, or you were thinking you weren't going to go back out, and things would always change up. I remember one day I went back, because they said, we're not going to go back out. I talked to the officials, so we're done for the day more than likely, but stay alert, basically. So I went back home, which was only about 5 minutes away, and I laid down and I was sleeping, and my caddy called and says, hey, we're back in position in 20 minutes. I go, what? And I had to throw my clothes back on and get over to the golf course and just ran right to the tee. So that was a close call on that day. I remember I had to go back out on 10 that day. And then wake up Monday morning, and it's sunny. It's temperature's good, but it's blowing 30 to 35 miles an hour, and it was brutal. And it ended up playing into my hands, as it turned out, because that particular year they had the rough really high. And if you hit it in the rough, you were pretty much just chopping it out. And with all that wind, I was hitting my little low driver, little pea shooter, I call it, but I was hitting a lot of fairways, and the bombers were hitting it up in the air, and the wind's blowing them over into the rough, and they didn't have control of their golf ball like I did that particular day, and it paid off. I ended up leading the week in greens regulation and fairways hit, and it was just, I happened to pick a really good day where I had a lot of control of the golf ball.
Well, I tell you, that I distinctly remember that edition because of the Monday finish, and as a golf professional or PGA professional here at a club in Princeton, I know I had Monday off, so I actually got to watch some tournament golf, and that's why I distinctly remember that finish, and it's just so cool to be able to go back there in time with you and talk about it today, because that's one of the definitely distinct finishes I remember of a big tournament in my golf-watching life. So, I mean, congratulations to you. That was a great victory. I mean, I thought that was really cool, and I remember that you played like over 30 holes that Monday, and it just, what a testament to your consistency. Like you just said there, you led the tournament in greens and regulation. It's great. And folks, we're on the phone here with Fred Funk, 8-time PGA Tour winner, but also 9-time Champions Tour winner. And you've won 3 Champions Tour majors, including the 2009 U.S. Senior Open at Crooked Stick, which you won by 6 shots. But you've won 3 majors. And I was looking into some stats getting ready to talk to you today. And in 52 major appearances since you've been on the Champions Tour, you've been in the top 10 19 times. You've always been a consistent player, but what do you credit your consistency in the biggest tournaments on the Champions Tour to all your success?
Well, normally the majors are set up a lot more difficult, and the rough it's a premium to be in the fairway, and the roughs are usually high and penal, and the greens are difficult, and par is a good number, and it's not really a putting contest those weeks. It's more of a ball control week, and you're just trying to stay out of trouble, make any big numbers and stay away from those and just play real steady golf, and that plays right into my hand because I was never long but very accurate. And that particular week at Crooked Stick that I won that year, I won by 6, and nobody ever talks about this part, but it's the lowest 4-day total in any USGA event in history, and at 2,900 par, so I'm pretty proud of that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So that was pretty cool. But that particular week, the fairways were running, and I was hitting a lot of fairways, but the greens were soft, so I was very receptive with the irons, and I was in the fairway a lot. And my putter just got really hot. I stayed hot for 4 days. But what was funny was the day before, I remember I was on the putting green, and a friend of mine, Jim Hiskey, came out on the putting green, and he says, "I've noticed you've been here a while." And I go, "Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out. I've just been off for the last few weeks, and I'm trying to figure something out." And I kind of left the green with a little something I found, and I don't remember what that was. I didn't write it down, but it stuck, and I had it all week. And I was just, when I got over putts, as the tournament went on, I just had more and more confidence with my putter. I just felt like I had a good chance of making every putt, and I just went on a little birdie fest. The neatest thing with that was I was paired with Greg Norman the last 2 rounds, and if Greg was listening, I don't, not try to make him mad or anything, but that was a great feeling to beat him.
Well, there's no doubt he's listening, so you got him there. No, just kidding. Speaking of our listeners, there's one tradition that we have every week here on Friday is that we like to do a little rapid-fire Q&A with our guests because we love the pop culture of golf, and we love for our listeners to kind of learn a little bit about our guests outside of the ropes, we like to say. So are you game for a little rapid-fire Q&A?
Sure.
All right. I won't get you too bad. But we'll see. All right, here we go. Ready? Will Tiger win another major, yes or no?
Yes.
Who was the last person who texted you?
My wife.
All right. Morning, noon, or night person?
I'm a night person.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate your cooking ability.
Not good.
All right, we'll give you a 3 then. We'll hit. Al says 3. All right, beer or wine?
Beer.
Besides golf, what game are you really good at?
I was pretty good at a lot of. I love water skiing and snow skiing, and I was pretty good at baseball. I was pretty good at. I was just one big enough for football, but I love to play. And probably the only sport I'm not really good at is tennis. I never got that one quite down. So, and I was way too short for basketball.
All right, well,
but I played basketball. I loved it. I could shoot it, but it just, wasn't that good.
All right. Scarier tee shot, number 17 at TPC or number 12 at Augusta?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd say 12 Augusta is harder.
All right. Do you believe in ghosts, yes or no?
Uh-huh.
All right. There we go. When you think of the word successful, who is the first person that comes to mind?
Successful. I'm going to go Jack Nicklaus.
That's a great answer. But you know what, Fred Funk?
Just because of everything.
Well, I mean, it's a great answer. And you know what I think? When I think of successful, certainly on the PGA Tour, I think of someone like you. You played in over 600 events. You were a tremendous player for, and still are, for years and years and years. You know, your game has stood the test of time. I think when you were on tour, you had over 200 top 25s in over 600 events. So when it comes to success in golf, you know, if somebody says to me this weekend, who do you think of? I'm going to say, I think of Fred Funk. I can't thank you enough for coming on Springdale Golf Live. You've been a friend of the show. Thank you very much.
You got it. Love it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Fred. Well, have a great weekend down there at the Players Championship, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime. Just give me a holler, and I'll be on.
All right. That's great, Fred. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, Al Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Funk bringing us a little uptown funk here
great
in
guy.
Princeton today. Well, you know what time it is? Looks like it's about 3:16 here in Princeton. So we're going to head out to break. We'll be back in just a minute. And thanks for listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Sleep all day. I know what you're doing.
New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on three core pillars: youth, military, and special needs. The NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org. Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Welcome back to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart. You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Al Brooks, you are on your game today.
Oh,
you are totally on your game today.
We're not done yet.
Do not think. Well, good point. Great
Thank
point.
You know,
you're always grounding me. But seriously, going into break, some people would have missed that. But you threw in a little James Gang Funk number 49.
I love it.
Yep. You know, maybe more of our stereotypical song of the week, but definitely a good one. But hey, certainly for song of the week, if you missed the opening, folks, you got to hit the podcast. Get on iTunes, search Springdale Golf Live, because we had a little fun with Uptown Funk, which is the song of the week.
Right.
Bruno Mars, I'm sure he's super proud to know that I've accosted his music now, but thankfully Jay-Z hasn't called me. I was hoping it was Beyonce that would have called me a couple weeks ago, but Jay-Z's people haven't called either. But then you threw me a little George Clinton right there, We Want the Funk. And how great was Fred Funk there in the first segment?
Super guy.
Oh, man.
Super guy.
Awesome. And do you believe in ghosts in the rapid fire?
I love the answer.
Yes. But he said it quietly.
He did, didn't
you
he?
Know, he was a little worried about that. And then the story about winning the Players and the rain delay, and he was in his house, and he had to be on the tee in 20 minutes.
We have to be back.
Oh, yeah. His caddy calls him. We're on the tee in 20 minutes. I'm sorry. I'm on my couch right now. But, going back to your mastery of the songs this week, you know, I know you had a lot. We had a lot of back and forth this week about what the song of the week would be.
Yep.
You know, I came at you with maybe Play That Funky Music. Right?
You did.
Certainly we had George Clinton in there, a Parliament with We Want the Funk. I had Funky Town, right, by Lips Incorporated, right?
Yep.
Take Me to Funky Town, that one, right? I remember what was your suggestion?
Funky Cold Medina.
Yes.
I was waiting for that one. Yeah.
Yes. Well... You know, I can't go as low as Tone Loke, but you know, I when you said that, I was actually very surprised because you were just like setting me up for another one of my openings. But I found my way through Uptown Funk, and we had a great time with Fred Funk. And it is, and one of the reasons we brought Fred on was that he was the 2005 Players Champion winner, and this week is Players Week, and it's a fantastic week. They're gonna have a great weekend here playing golf down at Ponte Vedra at TPC Sawgrass at St. Patrick's weekend. Now, excuse me, that event is normally very much a party atmosphere. The stadium course there at Sawgrass really leads itself to the amphitheater between 16 and 17. So Sunday close, selection Sunday this Sunday for the tournament, and you've got the players coming in, and it's St. Patrick's Day. I mean, put your green on. You know, it's Island Time. I got my Island Time shirt on today, right here. That's for sure. You know, happy St. Patrick's Day to all my fellow Irish lads and lasses for this weekend. And certainly, that's going to be one heck of an afternoon at the Players Championship.
It sure will be.
They keep talking about this thing. And quick leaderboard here: Tommy Fleetwood is still leading the way. He's two shots ahead of Jim Furyk, of all people. So we're talking to Fred Funk, and one of his peers playing on tour would have been Jim Furyk, and Jim Furyk is just two back. He shot 64 today. He's at minus nine, which is kind of cool. And you know, the Players Championship is literally the strongest field in golf. It's 144 of the best players on tour. There's no amateurs there. There's no club professionals there. There's no way to qualify to get in other than through exempt status, top 50 in the world, having won either the Bay Hill or the Memorial, won a major. So definitely one of those things. I know they like to call it a fifth major. I don't know why people get so caught up in that whole conversation. Yeah. It's just, there's four majors. So there's four majors. Right. If I was running the Players marketing team, I would just say, we're our own deal. And it's a big deal. I mean, it's a really, really good golf course to play. And one of the reasons I can say that is because I've played it. I've played it multiple times. And I'll never forget, I got a quick story for you, Al.
I'm ready.
Back in 1999, I played, it was in my Isleworth days, and we took a trip up, and it was the week of the Players, and we went and watched the Players, and then we got to play it the next day. And it was one of those brutal years, because it was still, the Players has been played in March and May. And it was played in March from 1977, when it started, until 2006, and then from 2007, 2018, they moved it to May. So, you know, Florida, May, hot, humid, probably not that windy or, you know, tough conditions.
Right.
Whereas this time of year, you know, they say they're like, well, it's gonna be breezy and cold tomorrow at 62. I know it's 62 here in Princeton today, and everyone's running around with shorts and a t-shirt on.
They are, yeah.
See? So, you know, so one of the, it's kind of funny, but when it's windy there, it's a very much target-oriented golf course, and it was windy back in 1999 when David Duval won at 3-under for 72 holes, which is the highest winning score ever by someone at the stadium course there. But so the next, fast forward to the next day, I get to go out and play with some of my friends and the guys I worked with at Isleworth, and I get done. And I was pretty dejected. I was playing pretty good at that time, and I'm pretty dejected because I shot 82 that day, and the golf course just beat me up. Yeah. It was like one thing after another. You hit it in the rough, and then, you know, you just couldn't get it on the green from there. And then when you got it on the green, it was like putting on this countertop right here. It was a brutal, brutal day.
Right.
So we all get done, and you know, there was four club pros in our group, and we come in and we go in the clubhouse, and we talk to the director of golf there, and he could see I was kind of hanging my chin a little dejected, and he said, Keith, he goes, what's wrong? I said, I couldn't do anything today. I was horrible. I shot 82. He goes, well, what makes you feel any better? He goes, Phil was tied for second place after the third round, and he shot 82 yesterday. I was like, all right then. Yeah. Kind of put things in perspective. It wasn't a bad deal. So, you know, whatever Phil can do, I could do better, I guess, you know, or at least similarly. But anyway, it was pretty cool. And it's one of those things people ask all the time. They say, what's it hitting on the 17th hole like? And I say, you know, you think about that tee shot. You literally, you know, the pros say all the time, they'll go, you know, the whole round, I'm thinking about what I'm going to hit on 17, what will the wind conditions be, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it does play with your head. And, funny story about that hole, the Island Green, that I learned many years ago is that Pete Dye, who was the designer of that golf course, they got to that hole and they kind of ran out of room. And they had dug this big hole around the green and he didn't know where to move the land and do all this stuff. And his wife, who just recently passed away, God bless her soul, Alice Dye, she goes, well, you should create this Island Green. And it was actually Pete Dye's wife, the architect's wife, who came up with the idea for the diabolical 17th, which I think is always a very cool story they bring up this time of year. But the first time you go hit it, it's like 100, I think that day it was like 135 yard shot, little 9-iron or wedge, whatever I hit. But I knocked it on and I didn't think twice about it. But there was four grown men in the group and a four caddy. We walk out on that green and next thing you know, you're like immediately claustrophobic. This thing looks like it's so small. You're on this tabletop.
Yeah.
And the bulkhead's like 3 feet above the water edge. So, or the water level. So you don't want to like back up like you're lining up your putt and then like fall off the side. I mean, you definitely start to think about it. So then the second and third times I've played there, now when I went to the tee box, I knew exactly what those guys were talking about. Because the first time I had no idea what it was going to be like. You walk up the 16th and you could look over and you say, oh, there you are. I see you coming, right? And it kind of winks at you.
Right.
But then once you know, and you know how small it is, once you've walked on it, and then you go, it really starts to play, mind games with you. And it certainly got Tiger Woods today because he went after that back pin and he rinsed it once and he went to the drop area and he rinsed it again. He made quad, but he still shot under par on the day, which is impressive. He had five more birdies. So, but that's Tiger Woods. Pretty unbelievable. Speaking of Tiger Woods, lately he's been struggling with his putting a little bit. So a little heads up to the Springdale Golf Live crowd that, he's getting some putting help. I saw he was taking a lesson this week from Matt Killen. And, Matt Killen is also the instructor of one Mr. Cannon Claycombe, who was on during the Ryder Cup. Remember he called in from Paris? He was on the Junior Ryder Cup team.
Yep.
So a big shout out to Matt that he's hooked up with Tiger there and he's helping him with his putting because Tiger's ball striking has been, it's been pretty good this season, but the putting's been a little off. So, boy, if they get that worked out, as you heard in the opening soliloquy, Masters is right around the corner and you're going to have to putt good there. There's no doubt about that, Al. A big shout out to a couple guys that were on the show this past year. One, Jeff Smith, the Radar Golf Pro, and the other one, David Orr. They both recently were in, you remember Luke Kerdeneen? A couple weeks ago, Al, the instruction editor from Golf Magazine. Well, Golf Magazine in their recent issue just came out with the top 100 instructors in America list. And the two friends of the show, David Orr and Jeff Smith, or Radar Golf Pro, they both found their way onto that list for the first time ever.
Huh.
So to those guys for being on the list, this is their rookie year on the list. So congratulations to them. And I know my good friend who was on the show, Jason Carbone, who's the director of instruction up at Baltusrol. He's been on the list since 2007, and he was on the list again this year. So congratulations to him because these guys come on the show. We got to give them a little plug for doing something pretty cool. Top 100 Golf Magazine, and certainly kudos to Luke Kerr, Deneen, and the whole team up there at Golf Magazine for putting together a great list. I looked through it top to bottom; it was really good, and I was pretty excited to see some friends on there, which was cool. Yeah. Of course, Al, do you have any big plans this weekend for St. Patrick's Day?
Not at all. Just hanging on the sofa.
Hanging on the sofa.
Yeah.
Well, you got plenty to watch on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, I know. I'm ready for that.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll find something a little Irish to either imbibe or eat or celebrate.
Potatoes.
Potatoes. All right. Well, potatoes are good. That's for sure.
They are.
I was certainly raised on them. I mean, this is a fact. My mother's maiden name is Walsh, right? And my wife's maiden name is Murphy. So at the end of the day, Freud was right. Anyway, so real quickly before we close, and you stop gasping for air over there, folks, we mentioned it earlier. If you missed part of the show or you missed the opening, definitely hit the podcast up on iTunes, Google Play.
Right.
We're on Podbean. That's our website. And certainly you could always stay connected with me through social media at KJPGA on Instagram or Twitter. I'm sure the opening will be on Instagram. Have a little fun and maybe we'll throw it up on LinkedIn too. We'll have some fun there too, for sure. Sponsors, New Jersey Golf Foundation, Summit Golf Brands, FH Wadsworth, all the people that are just so good to us. And I want to say a big thanks to my good friend at the PGA Tour Communications Office, Miss Emily Tillo. She did us a big favor this week. She hooked us up with the 2005 Players Champion. That was Fred Funk. And a big thanks to him, too, Fred Funk. Al Brooks, you're on your game today.
Oh,
lots of music.
Hole-in-one.
Lots of bringing the noise and bringing the funk. I love it. Yeah, hole-in-one. Thanks to the Springdale Board of Governors, Troon Golf Management, and most importantly, our listeners. Folks, I'm heading to Springdale. But where are you headed? We'll let the Tower be your guide. And from Princeton to Ponte Vedra Beach, and of course, everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.